President. Mr. President, I'm doing well. How are you? Good to see you again.
Yes, good to see you.
Come over and sit down.
Congratulations.
Sit down.
And the next slide, you can report
the chair for the department. Thank you. So the life is going to be recovered.
Yes, I have.
When I read about that, that's where I thought I was mine. Somebody ran into the barn.
No, it was the car. The truck beat the light and hit me. And the driver panicked and instead of putting the brake, he stepped on the accelerator. So he hit me at the fork and thrown out of the car. But
You're a strong man.
But it's hard to keep weeds in the prison.
Well,
the life of your victory.
Well, thank you.
It was a landslide victory.
Well, you follow our politics so closely.
Very closely, very closely, yes, sir.
I was thinking back through the years and I saw you were here. I want you to know that because of the time, I was the only people that the foreign visitors who were here, they put on their schedule. I said, you're going to put on heads of government or vice president. What about foreign ministers? And I look at him and says, Romney. I said, how do we justify that he's an old friend?
Yes. I know the State Department, but I wish the president would have said long-standing friend instead of old friend.
That's right. Yeah, you're still standing. I remember Cochin and Grove.
That's right, yes, sir.
My cousin, when you were out there at the University, that's 20 years ago when I was on the office.
After your victory.
Well, we hope that things are calming down there.
Very well, Mr. President. I want to report that to you. That now there is peace in order.
Did you give her a tea or coffee? Or tea?
Nothing.
Not even monkeys.
There is peace in order. The warlords, each politician used to have an army. That's all we want. The surrounding arms can equip 5 divisions now.
The president have to take these strong measures.
He had to, yes, he had to.
I know some people here were, coming into my office saying, oh, we must lecture President Marcus. And I said, no, we're not lecturing. I said, I hope that he realizes that this poses some problems. He knows his own internal situation. I know that he's dedicated, as you are, to freedom and all the rest, but you can't have anarchy. You can't have it.
We will have it.
And your people, you once told me that the Philippines took all the excesses of American democracy and improved on them. They know how to play it.
All the faults of the American politicians and improved them.
That's right. Well, but my point is that I understood it, and I'm glad to see that it's calmed down.
And it's reforms. Oh, it's reforms. They're Lenin Reagan reform, for example.
Oh, yes.
We needed that for.
Is it good?
Very well, yes. I'm one of those affected.
Oh, you're a landlord.
Yeah, I'm an absentee landlord.
How do your young people feel?
The ones who clean all the streets. Clean the graffiti on the walls. If you know what it is, one of the cleanest cities in Asia. The flies have disappeared because the garbage is gone. You see, democracy, really, American democracy, is for a mature, highly developed, affluent society.
Yes.
For a developing society, you need some restraints.
You need it, you also need it in Latin America.
Yes.
You need it, for example,
in Korea, what happened?
If you're going to be in Vietnam eventually,
Mr. President,
I understand that.
If you had martial law here, then your Congress wouldn't be giving you the trouble they're giving you now. See, because
they've been giving me trouble for 4 years. You survived.
Yes, my dear victory. I was with the Board of Editors of the Times, and I said to them they were speaking of the power of the press.
Yeah.
And I said, how are you, my friends, with the power of the press? That makes me quite doubtful about the power of the press, because you went after President Nixon, and you went all out for Montgomery. I think the American people have repudiated you.
back to that circle.
Yes, that's the came all over the states except Massachusetts. There's certainly that New York Times didn't win Massachusetts for Montgomery. It was the Kennedys that won that. That kept them quiet.
That's right. Tell me, years ago we talked about PRC, and I remember you among the Asian statesmen. Remember when I was traveling abroad in the middle '60s, were saying that it was time for the United States to take a new look at that relationship.
You
think you did the right thing?
That was a masterly Japanese television. I made that.
Did it frighten you too much out there?
You relaxed the tension. And that meant a lot to us in Asia.
You don't think that our movement toward that, because some of our writers here have said and there, that our movement toward the PRC, which of course is only a crack, but nevertheless an important movement, frightens all of the so-called non-communist countries?
No.
It didn't frighten you.
It did frighten us, and in fact it strengthened us, because your communication, I showed, for example, that the Chinese, indirectly, would rather have American presence in the Formosa Straits than Russia.
And for that matter.
And that is, for us, our security.
Let me say, too, for that matter, in Japan.
Also, although Japan is the present, that is, I have a new outlook on Japan.
Tell me what you feel, yeah.
They are so concentrated in one island. That in this atomic age, they know they can be decimated in the twinkling of an eye. And that's the restraint now.
Yeah.
That's the restraint.
Right. That's right. They are a continental power.
No. They are concentrated in that small island there. And they know it.
By the size of California.
Yes. And they know it.
Yes.
So, I think that we act as a restraint. Of course. The national disciplines, I think, the best in the world, which is dangerous because that can be transformed into a mass hysteria by a demagogue.
Yes, sure. It's been done.
Yes. So that's the danger of Japan. But there is another restraint of the one island.
Let me say a word to you about Vietnam.
We're worried about that, Mr. President.
What's that?
We're worried.
Everybody's worried about it. We're doing the best we can. As far as our role is concerned, as you know, it's now down to we again, nine residual force volunteers. There's no ground combat. The South Vietnamese cannot defend themselves on the ground, on the sea, and in the southern part of the country, in the air, they even have air capability. The problem remains as to whether we can now have an honorable peace or whether we must take some other road. That's where it's at. So that's just, that's a brief report, please.
Well, we were worried about that because when Dr. Peace and I was, when Peace was hired, yes. But he explained that very well in the briefing that he gave the newspaper right here. And Ambassador Byron gave me a few texts
right.
of the briefing which I showed to President Marcos. And we saw that the American side tried its best. And they even indulged in semantic
condition. It was a filibuster. That's the best way you can describe it.
But it was the communist way of negotiating, Mr. President.
On the other hand, as you know, we want to end the war.
Yes.
We must, I think your interests require, as we have all, as well as we have led, leave out the interests of the United States, leave out the interests of South Vietnam, and your interests, the interests of the other neighboring states and areas require that the war, if possible, be ended in a way that is not a bug out by the United
States. That's right.
It must be an honorable, when we say honorable can mean a number of things, but to us, we think a ceasefire in place, that's honorable, that stops the fighting. And then a political settlement which allows everybody to have a free shot at it, that's fair. Obviously, President Tu would like more. He'd like the war to continue. The very communist is killed. It can't go on.
It can't be done.
It can't be done.
When we realize in the Philippines that America wants to get out of the war.
But we don't want to get out of Asia.
And you want to
you don't want us out of
Asia. Well, you said in one very clearly that you don't want to continue involving American manpower in Asia, in our Asian wars. Well, we supported you with your
argument. Actually, what we want to do is to help others help themselves, which
yes.
is what we do with you.
Yes,
you
know, that's what
you don't ask for
no.
American manpower.
Yeah. That's why that your presence is to remain there.
If you agree,
oh,
but certainly our presence goes. What other presence have you got?
Well, you only have that vacuum.
Oh, you've got a vacuum with the big Chinese and
Russia.
And Russia.
And possibly Japan.
Exactly. And so, therefore, it seems to me that in America, say, all the Europeans are gone. The Australians aren't strong enough. No other nation can be strong enough to play their role outside their borders, except Japan, potentially, or America.
Right. Well, we
I think they'd rather have the U.S. than Japan, or rather have the U.S. than...
We would rather have the U.S. than any of them.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yes. American presence there is important to us.
And to make it intolerable to our people, but it must be a presence where
and
we help others, where we don't send our men to do the fighting.
And American presence consists of your 7th Fleet
right.
and your air power.
Right.
And your Polaris, that's American presence.
Right.
Now, as to GIs and armor, I mean, that infantry and all that, I think you were right when you said the point that American manpower should no longer be involved in the Asian wars, and we supported you there.
Right.
And the most recent way.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
Your Archer just told me about the way you have spoken up at SEAL.
Oh, yes, I have.
You're a good friend.
I have defended you, Sten, all along, yes. And Secretary Rogers wrote me a letter because. He said of he defending your side, it was you. I who defended your side, yes. So we are happy that you are at the head of the state here. As I said when you won in my statement to the press, I believe honestly that of all the presidents who live in the White House, you are the most knowledgeable about Asia. And I made no exception. You are the most knowledgeable about Asia.
That's great.
You have been to Sams.
Yes.
Yes. You have discussed with me the Asian problems whenever you went there.
Yeah.
You're always willing to listen. And so I think that they are fortunate that the New York Times was appreciated by the American people and that you won by that slight. Yes. And Mr. Marvel instructed me to tell you that he has faith in you and he has confidence in you and you have his highest respect.
Well, would you have conveyed him my respect and told him that we will keep the closest communication? That I understand his internal problems. He will see, he will get no lectures from me.
We're going to have honor you then.
Yes, he will get no lectures from me. He's telling this the way it is right. It is, you know, we understand.
He's a good American ambassador there. Why?
Yes. Yes, he is a good one. He is good.
He is
now, we may, just for your private information, we're gonna move a few around. And, I don't know, fire over where we were, we will go. I don't know how many years he's been there. Three years. I think he's scheduled. He probably knows. But I want a very strong man. I mean, fire alert.
Yeah, he's
not any weird. You can be sure. I don't know that we're going to make any change now. But if we do change, I can assure you that we will not do so, except for a personal and your total confidence. I'm honored. I want somebody that I feel is, you want a strong man.
Yes, yes.
Right?
We do.
One that understands your problems.
One who is right here.
And that has. That's right. That's right. And if I really have great experience in the committees,
he's very highly respected there, Mr. President. And we think a lot of him. He doesn't talk. And whenever he talks, he says something.
Yeah.
But we regret that you are changing Bush in the United Nations. He won our respect and I'll still there.
He's a very good person. Like John Scalzi, that's an ABC commentator, he's been here in the White House for 2 years. A great, frankly, journalist, part of the EAP. He's traveled to both me to China and to Russia. He knows the world. He will do a great job there. Bush, I guess, needed as the head of the party. So he's going to be the chairman of the Republican Party when he did. And also, he can go up from there. You can't be political in the UN. I want Bush to run for office in the future.
He's a very good man, sir.
Yeah.
We worked very closely with him there.
The
production of your fee in the United Nations.
Yeah, yes,
we worked very closely with him.
Yeah. I'm glad. Just if you get a good man, you can't have him wear two hats. But we'll send you this other problem if you could.
I don't know him, sir.
He will know your problems. And you like him. You like him.
By the way, I am signing with McNamara today. $17 million loan agreement, educational loan agreement.
You must like that, because
we need it for our elementary and our vocational.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have emphasized the academic side, and we have too many lawyers now.
That's the trouble, incidentally, in so many of the things we call the Republican Congress.
So
it's true all over America. We have to turn the lawyers and doctors and so forth to do the work.
Huh? Now we have agricultural schools strengthened. Agricultural schools.
In this country, it's interesting to know while we have probably also too many lawyers and doctors. On the other hand, we put enormous emphasis, as you know, on vocational.
Yes.
And all that. You take our junior college system, what we call the junior college system, which was developed first in California, now it's in junior high. Well, it's a great thing. 2 years of college, and they come out of there, and they develop, they show capability, they go on to for a four-year course, which is not very great. But if they also show great ability in the what we call the technical or vocational area, they move into that. And that's the best thing for them to do. Yeah. Everybody can't be a lawyer, I hope. Or a doctor.
We have too many lawyers.
Or politicians.
Yeah, or politicians. Well, we have too many politicians.
That's right. Everybody wants our job.
Too many politicians.
Yes. You do have a lot. They love it. They love it.
They are.
They're good at it.
Politics and industry in the Philippines.
That's right.
But with this new dispensation now, it seems that the president's controlling that.
Bring one of my ashtrays so that he can take it and show it to his grandchildren. It's a little tiny of a deal in the matter with the president. You must put it. You still have the same home that I visited.
You have the same home.
Yes, when I remember all the events
that
came in there.
Same home, yes.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of remodeled and
right.
Improved.
Right. Well, one day.
That'll be the next
One day I hope to come again.
How is Mrs. Nixon?
That's right.
Is Mrs. Nixon doing?
She's fine.
I saw you before when you were there.
Yes.
I was in the wardrobe. I saw you several times.
Is that right?
Yes. I saw Mr. Rebozo.
Did he go to the
He was here in the
Sure was.
Yes.
Well, she's fine. She was in California as at Roseburg. She had to run in that and went to the funeral of Mr. Boggs, you know, who was killed.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
We think was killed. Probably must have some miracle. And,
She did a great job of campaigning.
She sure did. And both of our daughters.
And your daughters, yes, yes.
They were great assets.
Yes, oh, they are great assets, yes. What is the right
Well, it's always good to see you. And,
we congratulate you.
Well, we cherish our long stay.